Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mistress Carrie, weekdays 10 to 3 on WAAF. Podcasts are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
Ian!
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Carrie. How are you?
Thank you so much for calling.
Absolutely.
You have been on my short list of rock stars that I have never spoken to, and I am so happy that I get to check you off today because I've been such a fan for so long.
Cool. Thank you.
You're going to be in Boston at the House of Blues on Saturday night, December 14th, and I cannot wrap my brain around the fact that this is a 30th anniversary celebration of Sonic Temple. I can't believe it's been 30 years.
Yeah, us too.
From people that I've talked to that have seen this tour already, I've heard just from regular fans that have said, I've seen the Cult a lot, but this tour, they are better than ever. How are you guys pulling that off?
We didn't go away. I mean, the last 15 years, we've released 3 albums, 2 EPs, done so much touring. So we've kind of kept busy, and I think because of that, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it. So we've been playing out for quite a while, and I think that really is... I've been one of the contributing factors to the band being so tight, so connected. And, you know, the shows have been excellent. We've curated a really, really cool set for this run of dates. So, you know, we're always anxious to get on stage and get into the show. I mean, that's really what the day is all about when we're traveling. We've pretty much focused our energies into the show. I think everyone's taking it, you know, really seriously in the sense of trying to stay in shape and, you know, like we were just in the UK and we all got sick on the road and we still went out and did the shows.
I've been asking a lot of singers this question and I'm curious, just because you've been singing for so long, have you changed your vocal regimen about how you prepare for a show, how you warm down after a show? How are you protecting your voice?
Yeah, somewhere in my, I guess in my mid-30s, I realized that I like had to start a little bit more discipline with my voice, because the recovery as you start getting a little bit older, get out your 20s, is it takes longer for recovery, so you really got to take care of that, especially being a singer because you are the instrument. So learning about, you know, scales, water, hydration is like the most important thing, and trying to get as much sleep as possible so you can repair any damage, or because we put in a full shift in our shows. I mean, we leave it all on the stage, so that's, you know, we just make sure that we've got the energy to do it every day. Because this year, I think we've done probably 50 plus shows. Same with last year. You know, I think the year before that, we did 90. So we've been really, really active.
There's a lot of final tours, you know, Kiss and Ozzy, and you know, there's a lot of artists that have had amazing longevity in career. What do you attest the longevity of the Cult to?
Probably a desire to play music first and foremost. If there's nothing in it, I mean, there have been times when I've stepped away from the Cult, done other projects, and that was really great because I was refreshed during those, you know, 3 or 4 year sabbaticals. I took 2 of them. But I went off and, you know, played with Manzarek and Krieger, or, you know, did other records. I sang on the Tony Iommi solo album, which I believe is 20 years old.
I loved that record. It's so good.
Yeah, it's a great record. It's a really great record. And, you know, just things like that keep you curious, you know, it's the passion that drives it in terms of, I get bored pretty quickly. So I get heavily into something. And once I think I've sucked all the nutrients, all the information I can get out, I don't move on to something else. And I think that keeps the Cult in check with always replenishing itself, with always redefining itself as an entity, always trying to find new textures or new being authentic in what we're saying, you know, where we're at, the station of life. I mean, I'm certainly not going to go out there and try and perform sonic sample songs in this and try and mimic what I was doing when I was 27 to 29 when we were doing that tour, you know, because my voice has changed as well. It's you know, my voice has probably lost a lot of the high end. Well, not the high, the very, very, very high falsetto end of it. My voice has stayed pretty good because I'm baritone, so I sing a lot in this mid-register place. And, yeah, I mean, Billy's been, you know, he plays every day. I mean, he's really been putting a lot into his craft. And I think if you take it, it is a lifestyle to a degree, but without there being the music, without there being the audiences, without there being all the people it takes to put on a show, you know, the venues, and we, you know, we'd be without without a place to express ourselves. But so we do take it, you know, we really do have a lot of care in what we do, and we try to create a set that we think people will really enjoy. We want to take them on a visceral journey, you know, and it's not just the celebration of Sonic Temple, it's actually in some ways a reintroduction of the cult and a celebration of the DNA of the cult, because we're playing songs that are kind of, you know, were songs that were precursors to Sonic Temple that kind of show you the story of how we got to that, and then showing us how Sonic Temple became an influence on our, you know, on our body of work going forward. So there's a lot going on. So I like to say it's a celebration of the DNA of the cult, yeah. And a few people are just going to raise their eyebrows and go, what are you talking about, DNA? I say, well, these are our influences. These are songs that were very, very pivotal and important, you know, for the cult. And we're now at 10 studio albums, which is a great body of work. And now we can change the narrative every night if we so wish. You know, if we get on a roll, sometimes we get on a roll, we play the same set, you know, for a couple of nights, and then we'll shift something out, we'll pull it out, we'll put something new in to keep it fresh. So, yeah, a lot of it's by intuition. You don't really... We have some conversations, but a lot of it's by intuition. We've known each other so well for so long that we can pretty much anticipate.
Is it harder to keep a band together or a marriage together?
Good question. I'd have to say band, because you've got more individual pieces in it. You've got more individual, you know, and everyone's got their own individual situations going on. But this lineup we've been playing now with these guys for... John Tempesta has been with us for 15 years. You know, John's a staple. We had Damon join us to kind of enhance what we've been doing, because he plays a lot of keyboards and is able to play a lot of the parts that we're missing, that we weren't playing for a long time. They're actually present on the records. So having him as a keyboard player, second guitar player when he's playing rhythm chords, and he's a great singer as well, and he's also an iconic front man in his own right, so he's an incredible asset, Damon Fox. And then we've got Graham Fitzpatrick on bass, who's been with us now for 4 years. So previous bass player went, you say, keeping the band together, lifestyle choices, let's put it that way. You know, so in some individuals have other lifestyle choices which don't always go with the harmony of what we're trying to do. And to be honest with you, I mean, very early on, Billy and I, we experienced, you know, having some initial success and the pressure it put on individuals and how they responded to that. You know, I remember firing off a first drummer, which was heartbreaking. It was so difficult because it was a friend. We loved him, but it just didn't fit. There was a lot of friction, and it just didn't work. And musical styles were evolving, and you know, and then same with the second drummer that we had to part company with, who ended up, I guess, he played with some other groups, but then ended up dying prematurely. You know, some people are fated to go earlier, and I don't think there's any, you know, real rules about it. It's just when you choose to go, you go. And, I mean, I was very close friends with like Michael Hutchence and you, Chris Cornell, and, you know, it's...
We've had some, as a rock community, we've had some devastating losses.
Yeah, I mean, the rock community is, well, first of all, let's stress the word community, because there's a lot of that. You know, and I'm sure a lot of guys and girls in bands would agree that, you know, we've all experienced being racehorses at some time when you become a commercial, outlet for someone who wants to make a lot of money. And then all of a sudden you've got a lot of new friends, and then you go through some difficult periods and everyone disappears and you find out who your friends really are. And it's difficult to explain the experience of traveling. You spend a lot of time in isolation, and that feeling valued by community is a really important thing. And I think it's great when we do tour and we do see people that we love and we know for years. It's always amazing. There's always this great sense of camaraderie. But I think The Rock, it's really sad to see The Rock's out the Grammys. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame isn't really kind of influencing that in the culture. You know, that's just a standalone thing that happens every year. We've kind of like lost our central institutions that used to support rock music. I mean, rock was definitely one of the most important pillars of, you know, so many institutions' advancement. And certainly hip-hop community, it definitely has community, and they're also influenced by rock music, and they do it in a really beautiful way, like Post Malone, for example.
Yeah, with Ozzy.
Yeah, exactly. So that shows that there's definitely a connection between those communities, and there's also a lot of hip-hop artists that we've toured with, we've played with, and we've had similar career paths, you know. And every now and again you meet up with hip-hop artists, and we have very similar experiences. But I'd love to see a lot more community. I've been pushing to powers that be in the promoters and, you know, free friends that are journalists, and saying, like, we should really have an authentic evening to celebrate rock music somewhere. It could be anywhere in the country. Move it around. It'd be really cool where we could celebrate artists that have had, you know, careers. Like you talk about Ozzy Osbourne or something like that, you know, Ozzy's had, what, 50-year career?
It is interesting that rock music and maybe country are the only artists that really seem to have that kind of longevity of career.
Yeah. I think, you know, also when a lot of these guys started, it was, there was a lot more going on in terms of organic influences. I mean, you had to physically go to a venue to see somebody perform. This is all pre, even like in Britain, you know, you'd rarely see stuff on TV. I mean, you saw it maybe on like Starman, Bowie, I saw that. You saw it once. It was never shown again. You know, it's crazy. They may have had a repeat once, but it wasn't shown for many, many years. So you'd have to seek things out. And also, if you want to see an artist, you'd have to go see buy the ticket. You'd have to go to the venue, buy the ticket. And so there's a lot more investment, organic investment. Plus, you could go and see artists that you were really inspired by. I mean, when I was a younger artist, I was going out and trying to see as many artists who I admired, who were older, especially people like Chuck Berry, or, you know, going out to see John Lee Hooker and those kind of artists. And I think that when you get close to the source, you know, you get close to the source of where this music emanated from, it gives you a little bit more, I don't know, maybe the roots that you have in music go a little bit deeper and sustain you throughout decades and difficult times, because you've had those experiences and that intimacy. There you go, an intimate relationship with muses, with influences, you know, with going to see artists. That's something that you can't replicate, you know, once you've had that experience with a certain artist. That's something you can't really conjure up unless you've been through it.
It seems like rock and roll is having a bit of a resurgence, though, and it's been nice to see, you know, newer rock bands coming out, but also bands like The Cult going out, celebrating big anniversaries. And, you know, for you guys, 30 years since Sonic Temple, and you're still going out and killing it every night. It's nice to know that that music still holds true and is still just as important today as it was when it was released.
Yeah, and in some ways even more so, because at that point we weren't fully evolved as people. And the material wasn't, it was as evolved as it could be for that moment. But with time, you begin to interpret nuances in songs that were maybe something you couldn't quite attain in the past, and now you've had that wealth of experience whereby you really got the gravitas, the weight, the emotional sentiment behind a piece. You really understand how far to go with it. And this is talking completely from performing, you know, aspect. You know, you consider there's a lot more subtlety and nuances, and then there's a lot more, there's a lot more like, okay, we didn't hit this hard enough. I'm going to hit this twice as hard, you know? So, but if you're just hitting it hard all the time, it just becomes like a wall, and that's no good. You've got to have ebb and flow and, you know, all the textures and layers. And I think that that's, it's a living, breathing entity. It's real musicians playing instruments in a live setting. You know, we still use cables. Some of us, I use a cable plugged into.
You're so old school, Ian.
I love cable. I mean, I do use in-ears, and I've used them since they came out. But the cables, I just habitually just have to have that cable in my hand. And I've tried radio mics. Especially when you do really big shows where you've got, like, you're playing a festival and it's like 60,000 people, and you've got a huge stage where you spend a lot of time walking around real estate, you know, there's nothing else going on except there's just an audience and maybe a monitor. And I always feel kind of like I'm not attached to anything. You're just out there on your own. Something about the cable that it feels grounding. Maybe it's symbolic of something.
Well, yes, I can't wait to see the show when you're in Boston on December 14th. You know, I'm hoping to meet you that night. I've been such a fan for so long, and you've been so gracious with your time. So thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I hope it wasn't too long-winded.
No, I want to keep talking to you, but I know that you have to go because you got stuff going on, and I don't want to be the one that keeps you from, you know, makes you late for everybody else.
Oh, that's totally cool. Yeah, I have a few more interviews to do.
Well, I appreciate you being so gracious with your time today, Ian, and I will see you at the House of Blues next month.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. We're really looking forward to Boston.
Have a great day. Thank you so much.
Right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Mistress Carey, weekdays 10 to 3 on WAAF. Podcasts are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.